Speaking with Chairman of the House Ag Committee, Oklahoma Congressman Frank Lucas, and Congressman, let's get right to it. You were there last night, President Obama's State of the Union address. Did you hear anything that was important to rural America and agriculture?
Well, I was impressed that the president used as a joke his discussions about the EPA efforts to classify milk as a hazardous waste. We've addressed that, pushed hard back on that now for several years in the House Agriculture Committee. I wish he had discussed the Labor Department's efforts to make it now and impossible for young folks to work on farms. That does bother me. But by and large, Ed, what the president gave was a pretty decent campaign speech. I don't know what it would cost to do everything he wants to do, because we don't have the money. And I do regret, though, that he didn't acknowledge that it's time to write a farm bill and encourage that. But he didn't.
Well, let's get to that. You've been quoted as saying you believe we really need to start from scratch with a 2012 farm bill after we saw efforts to attach something to the super committee proposal failed, of course. Is that still your plan?
Absolutely, Ed. We did a hurry-up process in November and December when there was an opportunity to attach potentially what would have been a complete farm bill to the super committee effort. The super committee fell apart, but Senator Stabenow, a chairwoman of the Senate Agriculture Committee, and I, and ranking member Peterson, and ranking member in the Senate Pat Roberts, we put a bill together. We would have achieved $23 billion in savings, but we would have tied down for the next 5 years a farm policy in this country. Super committee process didn't work, so now we start all over. I'd remind my neighbors back home there are a lot of moving pieces in this process. I've got to not only work with my committee members, my ranking member, we've got to deal with the Senate and what they're able to do on the other side of the body. There will be new scoring numbers from the Congressional Budget Office about how much money is available. There will be a budget resolution before too many months. It will have to be addressed in the House. So we've got a long ways to go. The hand has not completely been shown, but I would say this. Senator Stabenow over on the Senate side was wonderful to work with. I think she wants a farm bill as bad as I want a farm bill, and if we just have a half a chance, we'll get something done this year.
Not to put you on the spot, is there a potential timeline doing a farm bill, or are you ready to accept just an extension to get it on down the road, or where we stand on as far as time?
Ed, if I could tie down existing policy for one more year, if I could take the 08 farm bill and just add one more year to it in the form of a complete extension, you bet that's the direction I would go. This has been a very successful farm bill. Producers are generally, nobody's ever universally happy with the farm bill, but are generally pleased. My problem there is, in the new budget reality we work in, I don't know that there'd be enough money allocated to us in this coming year to just do what we've been doing and move it forward. But if we can't get a farm bill done in 2012, and our listeners are very well aware of the old farm bill starts to expire at the end of September this coming fall, if we can't get a farm bill, then yes, the fallback is an extension. And short of that, then trying to address it in a lame duck session of Congress after the November general election, which is the worst case scenario. I think my neighbors, when they put their fall crops in the ground, want to know what the programs are. They want to know what the rules are, and I want them to know that too. I just, there's so many things in the air, I just can't say with any certainty, Ed.
Let's switch gears a little bit now. Where are we on really knowing the whys of the MF Global, I'll call it a debacle, and where are we on recovering the money for our farmers and ranchers who saw their funds just disappear?
The Ag Committee was the first full committee to bring in Mr. Corzine, the former head of MF Global, to basically interrogate him about the circumstances of why $1 billion-plus went missing. Then we also had producer groups. We had the entities that handled the transactions there also. The bottom line that came out of that hearing was that Mr. Corzine essentially wouldn't take responsibility for the money that was went missing. Now, what do I mean by going missing? MF Global was a business set up that it basically had two parts. The part that dealt in futures transactions and derivatives for other customers, the money for those accounts was supposed to be held in segregated, protected accounts. Then the other side of the company was the speculative portion where they used the company's money to do their own derivative trades and their own future trades that were purely speculative, not hedges like the customer side, but speculation on their side. The rub in this case is when the company fell apart financially, all of these dollars, and these are monies that belong to some Oklahoma companies and folks, got moved from the protected accounts over to the other side of the company in the speculative accounts, it appears, to cover their bets. That's against the law. The question is, who broke the law? And, of course, where did the money go and how do we get it back? I think the trustees trying really hard. Something like 75 cents on the dollar has been returned so far. I don't know that 100% on the dollar will be returned, but I do believe when all the investigative audits are done, somebody's going to the penitentiary over this. Somebody broke existing law. Now, the Ag Committee, once we've got those audit results, we'll look at the present law and make changes that need to be made. But the bottom line remains, nothing in Dodd-Frank, if it had been totally in place, would have prevented somebody breaking existing law and stealing from the customer's accounts to cover their own speculative accounts on the other side of the company.
One thing you promised a year ago when you took over the leadership of that Ag Committee was vigorous oversight of the Obama regulatory scheme. I'm citing actually the EPA, Department of Labor, other agencies that just keep piling on regulations that directly affect rural America. How is that going? Is that quite a task?
That's quite a task, Ed, and it's an ongoing process. I can't even tell you how many times we've had the Secretary of Agriculture and the undersecretaries in to discuss how they implement programs, how they address a variety of issues. We've had the EPA director in. Ms. Jackson spent 4.5 hours last year in front of the committee discussing everything from potential dust rules to water rules to spray drift rules, trying to get the administration's attention. And I think we made some progress. I mean, when the president, in his State of the Union speech, tried to use the EPA efforts early on to consider milk in case it was spilled as a hazardous waste, I mean, we pushed back hard on that in the Ag Committee. When he made a joke of that, it said to me that we've gotten their attention. I just wish the president would address all these other issues, water, spray drift, dust, and even the Labor Department, their child labor laws, propose rules in the same fashion. So we're pushing hard back trying to get the administration's attention.
And finally, let's get local here, Congressman. Your district has a lot of stake over the fate of the lesser prairie chicken. You've heard about the state of Oklahoma has a plan they're presenting right now to Fish and Wildlife this week, actually. How do you see this regulatory battle turning out, speaking of regulations?
You know, if trying to do the right thing matters, the state of Oklahoma and all of the agencies in the state of Oklahoma working together trying to create a, I guess the term is mitigation plan, to address the habitat issues of the prairie chicken, to try and encourage the maintenance of their populations and increase their populations. My constituents, my friends across the state of Oklahoma are doing everything they can. Now, will the EPA, will Fish and Wildlife, will all of these entities pay attention? That's the question right now. And it's not just the basis questioning in the mind of many producers and myself, the basis of which the federal government's going after the state on this, but there's some other issues out there, Ed. I mean, we've just come through, in 2011, one of the most horrendous droughts of anyone's recent memory. You know that has an effect on all wildlife population numbers. I'm now very concerned that the feds will try to penalize us over issues that Mother Nature has control over and nothing we have any control over whatsoever. But we're going to continue to work with our friends on the state level and try and get the feds' attention. We really need to, in effect, go in and, whether you want to use the phrase reform, correct, make dramatic changes in the Endangered Species Act, that's what we really need to do. But I can't get that bill through the Senate, and I have a hard time believing the president would sign it even if we could get put an EPA reform, sorry, an Endangered Species Act reform bill on his desk.
Congressman, we want to thank you for your time. That is Chairman of the House Ag Committee, Oklahoma Congressman Frank Lucas. I'm Ed Richards for OklahomaFarmReport.com.